Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to another episode of The Christian Experience. I'm your host, J.D., and Mr. J is Dunk. Say what's up to the people, man.
Yes, sir. What's up, people? I'm in the building. What's going on, doctor?
All right. We'd love to welcome y'all back to the show on a lovely Sunday of Palms. And, yeah, so I know y'all holding y'all crosses and, you know, whatever y'all made. Some of y'all, you know, didn't take the time to try to fold them up. You just got them probably laying in your back seat like I do. But, you know, if you're driving, we ask that you keep your eyes open. Otherwise, please bow your heads. Father, we come to you right now, Lord, saying thank you, giving you honor, giving you glory, Father God. Just saying thank you, God, just for who you are, Lord. We just want to thank you, Father God, for what you've done and what you're doing, Lord. We thank you, Father God. If you do one more thing for us, God, you are still worthy. And we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We ask, God, right now that you please bless the show, Father, bless our listeners. We ask that your presence would be here, that your will be done. And we thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to speak, Father God, and get some of these subjects out here for the edifying of your people. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
How you feeling, man? How you feel?
I feel good. It was a little bit chillier this weekend, you know, than what I had expected. But it was a nice sunny weekend. It was a beautiful looking day, and nice. And sometimes just the sun shining makes me feel good. It's like don't matter how cold or warm it is outside, you know, I can just be inside and look through the blinds and see the sunshine, and it puts me in a good mood. So
nice.
So, yeah, I feel good, though. I feel good. It was a good week. I did have this one speed bump, if you will, right?
And okay.
I don't know if you can relate to this, but this happens to me on occasion. Not often, not a whole lot, but it does happen to me on occasion. This week, I dealt with it and to where I'm trying to do something, right? I'm working on something. I have a goal that I'm working on, and then I run into a roadblock.
Okay. Right?
And so you run into a little roadblock and you do what you can to get past it, right? Mm-hmm. And then you run into another roadblock. On the same, thing, right? And here's the thing. Occasionally I get to the point where I'm like, well, man, and you're praying along the way, but you're not always hearing the voice of God, and it got to the point where this second little speed bump or roadblock, whatever you want to call it. I got the questioning like, man, well, God, I need to hear from you directly. I need to hear your voice. I need someone to bring a direct word from you concerning this particular thing, because at this point, I don't know if it's you blocking me or if it's the enemy blocking me. Because if it's the enemy blocking me, then I got no problem pressing on. No problem. Whatever. Keep it moving.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if it's you, if I'm outside of your will, I need to know now because I don't want to keep going and then you wash your hands of it and let me go, go into the fiery furnace, if you will.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Like, Lord, I'm sorry to bother you, but I'm going to need a direct word from you concerning this particular situation, because I don't know if it's you or if it's, as a matter of fact, you know, if you can just tell me that, if you can just tell me that it's that I'm in your will or I'm against your will in doing this, then I will know how to move forward. You know what I'm saying?
That's
what I'm dealing with. That's what I'm dealing with. It's not, you know, it's no stress or anything. It's just, you know, it's just, you know, it's, I just understand because, you know, I like I said, I got no problem pressing forward. If it's, you know, if it's the enemy, you know, just throwing up roadblocks, you know, I got no problems around it, going around and doing what I got to do, because faith without works, we already know. So, but if I'm outside of God's will, you know, I need to know. So anyway, that's been a little bit of my week. So anybody that, you know, if you think about me, you know, if you experienced it and you know what I'm talking about, you know, and you're sitting down praying, you know, just keep me in mind.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell you
like this, man. I don't know if you're ready for the advice that I'm going to give you and anybody else out there who's, you know, who's dealing with that right now, you know, or may deal with it. Because I believe you brought this up for a reason, and that's good. But the only advice that I could give, I'm trying to do things a little bit differently. I used to feel just like you, not to say that I won't again, but what I'm practicing right now when it comes to that is I feel like this. And it might sound crazy, you know, but, you know, I had to kind of talk to God and say, look, sometimes I don't really know if it's you or not, right? And, of course, it would be easy. It's frustrating when we don't have a clear answer and we don't know if God is really telling us. I mean, any examples we ever had in the Bible, you know, people going through that, I'm pretty sure Moses went through that. Like, God, what the heck?
Right.
Moses out here to this body of water. You know what I'm saying? These people are all in my ear talking about I done got them killed. What is going on? Did you tell me to get the people out? Like, was all those times that that Pharaoh was telling me no, was I supposed to get, you know, was I hearing you right? You know what I'm saying? But he'll give us those signs, whatever. And we sometimes get paranoid and wonder whether or not we're missing it. You know, like, is he telling us, like, is he trying to tell me something and I'm missing it? But really, that's a trick of the enemy, too, because he wants you to be paranoid and stressed out and wondering whether or not you're doing the right thing, because that's not faith. You know, and if it doesn't stop you, it at least slows down the progress. You understand? So basically what I do is this. I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to jump in. You know in my heart, because we know, you know, anybody out there who's listening right now, you know in your heart what your motive is. You know what I'm saying? You and God know what your motive is. So if your motive is to get what you want and you just want God to co-sign what you want, you know what I'm saying, then that's different. But if in your heart you really want to follow God's will and you're just unsure, then this is what I'm saying. If you have a direction to go in and you have something that you're doing, then go for it. If you keep getting blocks and roadblocks and, you know, in the way, keep going for it until God tells you no. Until he gives you a clear sign, no, go all in and believe that he has your back however it goes. You understand? So whatever the roadblock is there, and I just got a shout out to my brother. He gave me some good advice. You know, he was saying, well, I'll paraphrase it. He was basically saying he kind of takes like a carefree attitude in a sense, because allow you to stress out and you can kind of think, you know, a little clearer. You know, you don't get worried and make mistakes. So the thing is, if you are having faith in God, right? If he told you every step of the way, there's no need for faith because you have instructions. You understand what I'm saying? So there's really no real need for faith. And you don't need as much faith when he's giving you clear instructions. It's those times where he's quiet and you're like, I done started off on this path and now I need to know whether to go right or left. But you got to trust, you know, and pray. This is my prayer. My prayer is, okay, God, whatever direction that I go in, then I pray that it's the right direction. And if it's not, I pray that you show me, protect me, that's it. Then you move forward and go full speed ahead. And he'll guide you, he'll end you up where you need to be. You know what I'm saying? And that's the best You know, that's the best advice that I can give. Now, along those roads, it doesn't mean you're going to not deal with other stumbling blocks or other, you know, roadblocks in the way, or that the path is not going to be difficult. But the thing is, the difference is when your path is blocked, he'll not only give you a way around it, but you won't get stressed out and turn around. You'll be looking for a way around it instead of turning around, you know, which is what the devil really wants you to do. And God wants to see what you're going to do. So he puts the block there. And it's really for your own confidence, to build your own faith and to build your own confidence to keep moving forward. So anybody out there listening, if you're going through that, look, pray to God. First of all, make sure that your motive is you really want to do his will. Pray to God and ask him to guide you. And then trust him and trust your decisions. Trust that your decisions are in line with his will, because that's what you prayed for.
Right.
So it was no point, you know what I mean? It would have been no point in praying that God guides you and that your decisions are going to be with, you know, on the same, you know, along the lines of his will. It was no reason to pray that if you're not going to believe it. Faith without works is dead. So the work is to make your decisions as if those decisions are according to God's will, and just know that any decision that's not, he will correct.
Right.
I know that was a long-winded answer, but.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, no doubt.
Thank
you. No doubt. No doubt.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we will have offering. You know, now there's not. Offering is at pay. The plate is at PayPal. At, now there's
not. How was your week, man? Anyway. How was your week? How did they treat you over there?
Ah, man, my week was all right, man. You know, unfortunately, there was a loss. One of my best friends, man, lost his brother, you know, who was a friend of mine also. And so, you know, prayers go out to him and his family, you know, so, you know, they're dealing with that. But he's, you know, he's in good spirits, him and his wife. You know, they are very strong. They, you know, they're making it. So, you know, they got the support of the fam, and, you know, it is what it is. So we all know how that goes. If you ever lost anybody, you know how that can be. So, you know, sometimes there's not much you can say. You can just be there. You know what I mean? Just be there, pray for them, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Let them know that you are there, you know, and be available for them. And that's it. So, you know, I mean, other than that, though, you know, it's actually made the week better, because to see them so strong in the situation, you know, it's kind of encouraging, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it was more of like a celebration type of deal as opposed to, you know, something that was, you know, sad or, you know, depressing situation. So it was cool. You know, it was cool. You know, other than that, man, I got my health. I'm good. I'm back here on the fishing experience. Be working. And I'm good, man. I'm happy. I'm happy.
That's what's up,
man. Yeah. Cool. So what we got, man? What's popping out there? Anything popping out there?
Man, lots of stuff going on. Lots of stuff going on out here. Yeah, I was reading through a lot of news, you know, a lot of tragic incidents,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of funny incidents, and, you know, a lot of crime, of course, everything
of course.
Overseas that don't need to happen overseas. But anyway, I'm just only going to talk about a couple things,
okay.
And I just wanted to flip through real quick. Just some funny characters in some crime episodes that I was reading through. one guy in Pennsylvania had gotten arrested for skipping jury duty 11 times in the past 2 years. I had no idea.
What?
I had no idea he'd get arrested for that. But yes, he skipped out of jury duty 11 times in the past 2 years. They finally caught up to him. Now, you know.
Wow.
So he went down. So anyway.
Now he on the other side of the jury.
Crazy. Now he needs a jury.
Exactly. That's crazy. Serve the time, brother. Just serve the time.
But one guy, you know, you gotta love these people addicted to social media. Oh, you know, we hear these all the time. But one dude was wanted for burglary in Maine, and he and he was actually doing a really good job of hiding out until he posted on Snapchat, and the cops were able to find him through his Snapchat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so he just decided to Snapchat. He thought it was all good.
Wow. Snapchat, you know, with the disappearing, so-called disappearing photos or videos after a few seconds. But apparently they don't really disappear. But anyway.
Now, I must interject. Now, I must interject for a hot second. I don't understand how people don't realize that this social media stuff is basically a way for you to just pretty much expose yourself. And everybody is falling into it. Now, I'm not saying do crimes and stay on social media and you'll be good. Nah, that's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is you kind of got to watch what you do. And we're going to do another one of those shows. We need to do another one of those shows about social media. But listen, man, remember who controls these avenues for you to put these things out there. What makes you think they're not going to come back? Like, if you didn't pay taxes and you're posting all these pictures of your new car, don't you think the IRS is coming for you? Something's going to happen. They're not going to just get away with all this stuff. They use people holding counting wads and money on the screen. Like, you know, come on, man. Be wise, people. Please.
Right.
Please make the wise choice. Anyway, go ahead, man. I don't
want to... Exactly. You know, speaking of being not wise, some girls that had robbed the Dairy Queen also felt like they can brag about it on Snapchat. And
oh
they were also caught. You gotta love it. Anyway, my last
the cops not even rolling around in patrol cars. They just on social media in the office. Like, yeah, go get them. Like, they just stay
on
Facebook all day, solving crimes. Like,
that's all
it
is.
Gosh.
That's all it is. But meanwhile, the attorneys that they're hiring, such as this one defense lawyer, he winds up dropping a baggie of marijuana, two ounces of marijuana, in the courtroom.
Whoa,
the courtroom.
What?
The defense lawyer? The defense lawyer in the courtroom drops a bag of weed in the courtroom.
Oh my gosh, man.
Gotta love it.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Anyway,
what they tell them? They probably was like, just scoot over. Scoot over. You put yourself up a chance. You don't do this all at once.
Right. They fine.
Oh,
they
gosh.
Fine. $150.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but anyway, you know, I do know, especially you being in, you know, in one of the boroughs, you know, you heard about the blast on Thursday in the building in Manhattan. From a gas leak or whatever.
Allegedly, yes.
Yes, allegedly. And anyway, one of the things is there's a New York Post on the front page. I think today. I'm not sure, but anyway, it's titled Village Idiots. And it's a group of girls, group of young ladies, about 1, 2, 3, 6, 7 of them, right? And they have their camera on a stick, with what I think they call a selfie stick, and they're taking a selfie and they're standing in the middle of the street in Manhattan, and behind them is the scene of the blast. So, you know, fire's still going on, all this
right.
stuff, and they're taking a selfie to have that as the background.
Wow.
And I've seen stuff like this before recently where people, you know, just, you know, taking tragic scenes or whatever and trying to, you know, capture the moment and, you know, putting themselves in and taking the selfie. Here's the thing. They, you know, when the picture was posted up of these young ladies taking a selfie, I forget what site that it was posted up on, but anyway, of course you got a bunch of commenters.
Right.
You know, people commenting on the pictures. And you know, and I don't know if anybody reads comments on, you know, on the online, but you can see the worst of the worst of people when you start to read comments.
Yeah.
I mean, people get brutal when they're making comments on pictures and videos.
All kind of racism and sexism and all kind of prejudice.
Have you name it. And it's just, you know, just when you thought that, you know, that there was some hope for the world, you start reading comments online. But but anyway, just a few of these comments that these people were saying, that some people were saying. One person writes, absolutely disgusting. One person writes, everything that's wrong with New York City summed up in one photo. Another person writes, this literally makes my blood boil, right?
Mm.
And I'm looking at the comments, and I'm looking at the whole storyline. You know, they're attacking these young ladies for taking a selfie in the middle of the street. You know, now they're, judging by the photo, they weren't, you know, like in the policed way or anything. But
okay.
You know, you have an incident, you know, and there's, I believe, I don't know about the people harmed or dead. I know there are two people missing.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, you have a tragic event, and you know, and these ladies are taking a selfie, and it, you know, and the story starts off by saying there's a time and a place. So on and so forth, you know, concerts, sporting events, red carpets, you know, there's a time and place. And I'm just going to play the other side here. They were not in anybody's way. If they weren't obstructing justice or anything, what's wrong with the fact that they were out there taking a picture? Like, why do they get to be attacked? Because they were taking a picture during such an event.
Yeah, I don't agree with the attack, honestly. I don't agree with the attack. I just think it's stupid. Why would you do it? You know, I don't understand.
Yeah,
you're saying I'm saying why. That's all one of those.
Right.
No,
I agree
with
you.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, just, I mean, other than the fact that, you know, okay, you're trying to say that you were there for this event or whatever, okay, fine. But I think that, you know, all in all, I don't think it really makes that big of a deal, you know, big of a difference, being the fact that they weren't in anybody's way. But at the same time, you know, I don't think that once you take that picture, of course it goes on social media, now it's in the news, all these different things. And I'm like, you know, people don't realize, like, we live in a world right now where all of this, you know, social media and the cameras everywhere and all that stuff have consequences. That this world, this is a new, brand new, really a brand new old world that we live in. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like the society itself is new. You know, we're dealing with things that we don't really understand the consequences of the actions that we're taking at this point, because the effects of them won't really manifest, you know, until years to come, you know? So I think that if people sit back and think about it, about what they're doing, then, you know, they would realize, like, maybe this picture's not worth it, you know. But in the moment, hey, you out with, you know, the other 6 of your homegirls or whatever, and something happens, you're going to want to take a picture because you think it's cool. You get to show it around. People are going to be interested. It's the year of, you know, it's the time of everybody can be a star. You know, everybody gets their moment of fame, because there are outlets that allow you to do that. So people are going to take crazy photos and pictures and things like that, you know.
Right.
But
and
personally, I'm like, why would you take the picture? But hey,
right. And I agree with you. You know, and I would say the same, because it's not like you would find me out there taking a selfie,
right?
You know, in the middle of the blast, you know, or anywhere for that matter. But anyway, it's just the attacks and how. And I was thinking about the comments here and the comments that I've seen in the past, and how people just push their way of life or their opinion. You know, if it doesn't line up with what you're doing, you know, their opinion of how life should be led, then they attack you. And here on the New York Post, you know, they're being called village idiots. You know, and that's a blatant attack.
They can probably sue for that, honestly.
They probably can.
I probably would.
And you know, and it's just and it kind of, you know, it kind of parallels to what, you know, what today's show is.
Right.
You know, and just how, you know, how people just take their own, you know, beliefs and they force them and I'll just go ahead and just take that and lead it into today's topic. And today's topic we're talking about, and I apologize, everybody, because we went way long in the show. And I'm looking at the time that Donicia has set up for us. We got like 30 minutes to get this show in. So anyway, today's topic is personal conviction. And, personal convictions, as we talk about indoctrinating personal beliefs. Mm-hmm. And you want to bring that on, NJ?
Yeah, I think that news report, you said it was the Daily News?
It was New York Post.
New York Post. I believe that, you know, that's a great example, because pretty much what the Post, they're posting the news. And the news is really supposed to be a factual,
right,
you know, body of work, yeah. You know, something that you're just relaying the facts to the people. That's
right.
What it's supposed to be, not your
right.
opinion. So, you know, I'm sure there are articles, you know, they do have articles that, you know, allow the opinion, but that's a different type of article. But when you're just posting something on the news, you know,
right.
you're supposed to have the facts there. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, it happens this way, but with this particular thing, situation, I think that, you know, for you to name these girls village idiots, I don't agree with that. And that's you almost stating a fact, like these girls are idiots. You know, the average reader is going to read this and already accept that as a truth.
Right.
Before they even start reading the article. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You're not allowing them to take the facts and formulate their own opinion. You
right.
know what I'm saying? You're just saying these girls are idiots, and that's not cool. You're stamping that almost as a fact, and it's persuasion. And, you know, I think another example, one of the largest examples to me is when one of the ones that kind of ticked me a little bit is when you have, you know, you have preachers get on Soapbox or whatever platform they're speaking from,
right.
and they're saying these things that, you know, their job, their responsibility is to teach doctrine, the doctrine of whatever it is, you know, we're taking Christianity in this sense. So they're supposed to teach what the Bible says, you know, what God's word is. This is what, you know, they're supposed to teach. This is what we live by as Christians. This is what we live by. So,
right.
you know, if you're teaching the doctrine, you know, and then, but you add in, you know, what your opinion is, and you teach that as fact,
yeah.
then it taints people's idea of what the truth is. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of times that causes problems and conflict that, you know, that you otherwise wouldn't have if you allow people to formulate their own, seek God and get their own understanding instead of you trying to force your understanding on them.
It,
you know,
you know,
and it makes it
it's almost like, if I can use this analogy, of making a meal or a particular
mm-hmm.
meal and telling you, when you give me the plate, you hand me the plate, you told me you follow the recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And I eat, I taste it, and it has mushrooms in it. And
mm-hmm.
And it's chocolate cake, like it's just, but you like mushrooms, so you put mushrooms
right.
in it. You put
right.
mushrooms in it because you like mushrooms. You think mushrooms make everything taste better, and so
right.
you're gonna put mushrooms in it. but you were supposed to just follow the recipe. And you
exactly.
and that's what a lot of what you're talking about, a lot of pastors that I've seen do. They, you know, instead
mm-hmm.
of following the recipe, you know, they put their own you know, how they feel in there, you know, their own opinion in
right.
there. And what you're doing, like you said, is tainting the, you know, you're tainting the dish. And in this case,
right.
you know, God's word. You're supposed to be in there, you know, learning, you know, God's word, or you're supposed to be in there getting, you know, some sort of, you know, direction, you know, whatever. And in the midst of that, you have somebody's opinion. And that,
right.
like you were speaking about the New York Post, that taints the reader, you know, before you even
exactly.
get yourself pulled into it, you know, now you've already been forced to form an opinion.
Right. And that's why the word says study to show thyself approved, not read
right.
to show yourself approved. You got to study. You can't, you have to study
There's
and
difference.
See the, because you have to see the consistency. A lot of people say, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. No, you're just not reading the Bible because this or not understanding, because there's no contradiction. Like there are things that we want to be black and white. And most of the time, this is what people do. They try to explain something. They take it upon themselves to say, these people are not going to understand this, all of this. So I'm going to take this part,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just
yeah.
going to tell them this part. And I'm going
yep.
to explain to them, and I'm going to elaborate on this part. But
yeah.
then once they don't get the full understanding because you didn't give them all the information, even if they don't understand all the information, at least they have it. So as they come
right.
to a better understanding, they can add that new information in, and it will make sense to them. Because remember,
right.
if we're talking from a Christian perspective, let's be real here. You can read the Bible, but if God doesn't give you the understanding, you won't get the understanding. Period. So you trying to tell somebody something, and then you add in your own. Like, I'll give you an example instead of talking in codes. Let's give a real example, right? People
okay.
often, preachers often stay away from the subject of alcohol, like drinking. And if it is brought up, it's brought up in a negative kind of way, like, you know,
going against
drinking, almost like drinking is wrong, like. It's a judgment thing. You understand? So it's like, all right, you shouldn't be drinking. So if you drink, then, you know, God needs to deliver you from that. He needs to deliver the taste of alcohol from your mouth. Like, because I drink once in a blue, like, he needs to deliver alcohol from my mouth? No. You know, and that's what I'm saying is like, but they don't tell you, they're telling you, they'll give you the scripture where it speaks about, not being, I'm paraphrasing, but not being overcome to alcohol, to wine, or whatever, not having too much or allowing it to consume you, right? But they leave out the part. They don't flip over to, I believe, in Romans where it talks about, I think it's Romans, where it talks about Ephesians. Don't get me wrong. Listen, Google it. But where what goes inside of you doesn't defile you, but what comes out of your heart is what defiles you. So don't judge a person if they eat meat if you don't, and don't judge a person for not eating meat if you do. Just respect that person and don't.
Right.
offend them with your meat, or don't offend them with your wine, or whatever. That's the point. The whole core of that is love, but they don't always teach it that way. They say, well, they're not going to get it. If I try to explain all of that to them, they're not going to get it. So I'm just going to tell them not to drink at all, and they'll be safe.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And that's
yeah.
and that's the problem, because that's and now you're teaching people that it's wrong to drink, as if it's doctrine, and that's your opinion. That might be your personal conviction. God might say to you, don't
right.
take a sip of liquor, don't take a sip of wine, none of it, because you won't be able to handle it, and I need
right.
you to be clean from that.
So I'm taking that from your lips. But don't go kicking people's glasses over. Don't walk down to the bar calling everybody a heathen because he delivered you out the bar. You couldn't handle it.
Right.
So he took you out, and that's what I'm saying. And that's you know, and then you got people reteaching that to other people and convicting them with something that was indoctrinated, with somebody else's indoctrinated opinion, and that's not cool.
Same thing happens with music. It happens all the time. It happens with a lot of stuff. I've seen people in different churches or watching different sermons. And music is another one. Music is another one where, because that particular leader was convicted by it because they had a whatever type of past let's be real. What causes you to be addicted doesn't necessarily cause me to be addicted. If the word states that it's wrong, then it's wrong. I'm not stepping on what God's word says, but we're talking about the things that God's word doesn't say, such as the music, and I've seen people preach against listening to anything other than what is called Christian music,
which is ridiculous.
And that goes back to putting your mushrooms in the chocolate cake. Just because that's what you like, you feel closer to God, if you only listen to Christian music, then that's fine. And there's a way to teach people. There's a way, there's a medium. There is a way to teach people to say, hey, listen, if you find yourself not being able to finish a meal without having a glass of wine, then you might want to take a break from wine. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Not just wine. Put down the vodka, put the Henny down, put all of it down for a little while. Down for a little while.
Lay it all down by the wayside, my brother. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a way to teach it. There's a way that it should be taught, so that, like you said, you're not kicking over everybody's glass because you're convicted by it. There are a lot of people. I want to tell you something. There are a lot of people that cannot handle it. And God does need to get through to those people that they need to put it down because they can't handle it. But unfortunately, for you, it's not everybody that cannot handle it. Me, I personally, I can have a glass of wine I used to drink in a past life. Now I can have a glass of wine with a meal. Or I could have a shot of Henny with a glass of meal if I feel like it. But the thing is, it doesn't bother me. I don't feel like I have to do it again the next time I eat. Where I'm having it with breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It doesn't bother me like that. I'm not addicted. I don't feel like I have to drink now all the time. There can be 100 people in a room drinking. 50 of them might
You're fine.
Drinking, and I'm fine. I don't have to have anything. As a matter of fact, I have to keep trying to tell myself that I need to drink some wine because I'm getting a little bit older and this stuff ain't digesting the way it's supposed to digest. You know what I'm saying?
Well, my past life wine is still catching up, so I'm good on it. I'm good on it. I got enough for my fella to digest. Now, let me stop. But you're right, though. The thing about it, as you had mentioned music, and here's what I say. The question that I want to ask to these people who feel this way, and it may be somebody listening right now, feel free to leave your comments. Go to Facebook, leave the comment, or hit us up, ChristianExperience@gmail.com, or call in, 347-637-2419. That's 347-637-2419. Call us up right now. But the thing is, don't you realize the devil loves it when you only give half the truth. He made his career.
That's what he
giving
does.
Half the truth. He made his whole career, this whole livelihood, to give half the truth and trick people. That's his whole marketing plan for sin. His marketing plan for sin is lack of knowledge. Period. Like, and you, when you give somebody something, it's like the forbidden fruit thing. That's his marketing, forbidden fruit. So the more you tell somebody they can't have something, and they don't understand why they can't have it, they're gonna want it. Period. You know, there's gonna be enticed, and it's different things for different people. But if it's something that somebody's interested in, the devil will pique their interest and then tell them they can't have it. And then they're going to want it even more. Then he's going to just present them with a chance to have it, and they're going to OD on it. You know, like I'll tell them myself. Like, I've been trying to work out and doing all this, you know, eat better and everything. I walk in the store, it's brand new ice cream. This ice cream is so good, man. And it happened to be on sale the week that I was working out. It happened to be on sale. I'm like, what?
Gross, brother. That's the enemy.
I'm like,
enemy.
Are you serious right now? Exactly. Now, mind you, this ice cream is expensive. Ice cream now. Like, I thought Häagen-Dazs was expensive. They compete with Häagen-Dazs, but I, you know, Häagen-Dazs was my joint, but I don't know. They might have a beat. But anyway, that's the top of. So, and that's hard for me to say. But anyway, so I'm like, yo, and my principles, I'm like, I'm not paying full price for that. Even though I did at one point, that's how I knew I had to stop. But I went and got it on sale. Right? I got it on sale. I went home. I was like, all right, whatever. I don't need a bunch of it or whatever. Like, I can just take, you know, a couple of spoonfuls, whatever, you know, get my appetite right, and I'm good. Did that for the first night, right? And then now I'm in trouble because it's sitting there. If I was able to take a couple of spoonfuls and leave the rest of it in the store, I probably would have been straight. But now it's sitting in my freezer calling me every day. So when I jump on that elliptical and I jump off, I'm out and I want some ice cream, it's staring me in my face. So I'm like, okay, you know what? Let me just get this out. Let me just get it out. And then I binge eat and I wind up eating all of it. You understand? Right. And then now that I ate all of it, now my mouth want it more. You understand? It wasn't like that ended it. I just want more now. So I get more. And like, that's what the devil does. He's like, so, but the thing is, my point is, if you stop trying to tell people what they can't have, if I knew that, okay, moderation is okay, right? So it's all right for you to have ice cream, you just got to work the calories off. You can't OD and have a whole thing every night, but, you know, get a little bit, it's okay. You don't have to fight yourself to try to, like, ignore the freezer when you walk past because you know it's in there. Because that's just going to make you, it's going to weigh you down, depending on what it is. So you can't teach those things to people. There's certain things that God will tell me, stay away from, right? Just totally stay away from it. Don't even try to do it. Just stay away from it. And I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to be obedient to you, and I'm going to stay away from that. Because I know that I can't handle even the moderate, I can't handle that in moderation. I just need to stay away from it altogether. But that doesn't mean I run through the village condemning everybody who has it. Because you know what that is?
Right.
Most of the time, people are jealous. They're jealous of the fact that you can have one glass of wine and be okay, and they can't. So they don't want nobody to have it. They're just like, no, it's bad for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody should have it. It's wrong. No, that's your story. Stop indoctrinating your own opinions. That's not cool.
You know, you said two things right there that it brought me back to one thing. But you said the only giving half truth,
mm-hmm.
and then what you just said just now about being jealous. Jealous, but they both remind me of the enemy. They both remind me of Satan. You know, because he gives us half the truth, because he has to mix the truth in there. If you, depending on where you are, how smart you are, so on and so forth, he knows he just can't come out with blatant lies. So, you know, he'll put some truth in there. He'll make it sound like it's right. And he only does this because he's jealous, because that he knows if we live the way we're supposed to live, that, you know, that we're going somewhere that he can't be. My point for saying that is you can't allow yourself. You have to constantly evaluate the things that you say to people. And I'm talking to, leaders and just people in the circle, just talking to your friends. A lot of times we do that in our friend circle. You have to constantly evaluate the things that you say to other people because what happens is you start doing the work unknowingly, doing the work of the devil, honestly.
Yes.
And it sounds drastic. It sounds crazy because that's not where your heart is. That's why it sounds crazy, which is why you have to always evaluate the things that you're talking about, the things that you're saying.
Right.
Whenever you go to point the finger, you have to stop first and think about it. Because if not, you may very well be doing the work of the enemy.
Yeah, you can't just think. You can't get to the point of arrogance where you feel like you know so much that you don't have to double check to live a certain way and then just all of a sudden start mixing things in to justify why others should live that way. It's easier to teach one thing because you don't have to be open to things beyond your understanding. So if somebody like we talked about with the music, how can you listen to that and call yourself a child of God? How can you go here and call yourself a child of God? Well, because I just do. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? I don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand your logic. Like, so because you don't feel comfortable in these places, I should feel uncomfortable in these places because I'm a child of God? No, that's not true. Maybe I'm sent to this place.
Right.
How will these people get reached?
How can you approach me like that and call yourself a child of God?
Exactly. This is what, listen, how do you expect, right? How do you expect people who need help, who don't know they need help? It's not like if I'm sick, I know I need to go to the doctor, right?
Right.
So the doctor's just not knocking on people's doors in the neighborhood like, yo, you good? You need doctors? You need a doctor here? You need a doctor? No, they're not going to do that because if you're sick, if you know you're sick, then you go to the doctor. But the thing is, sometimes you don't know you're sick. That's what annual checkups are for. That's what self-evaluation is for.
Yes, sir.
Because God will let you know if you're sick. You might go to the doctor and feel fine, and the doctor might be like, yo, you're kind of breathing kind of hard. Your chest sounds congested or your blood pressure's high or, your sugar level's high or whatever, and now you need help. And, but you can't expect, you can't just sit in the church all day long. And when people come in, you just writing them off. And then God sends you somewhere to go check up, to do his checkup. He's the one doing the checkup, not you. It's so arrogant that people sit their behinds in the church and think that all the sick people who don't know they even sick are just going to flood in the church. And if they don't, then that's their fault because they're just denying God.
Yeah.
And you know what? I got to remember that I'm on the radio because I don't want to say idiot, but so I'll choose another word besides idiot. But, you misinformed individuals out there. What in the world makes you think that you are so high and mighty that these people need to come to you to get help when they don't even know they need help? They don't know they need help. That's why God sends us into the crevices of that's the point of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You're not always walking through the valley of the shadow of death for yourself.
Right.
Sometimes you got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death because there's some people there that God want to bring out the valley too.
Right.
And you got to be strong enough to be able to walk through that and do it. But guess what? If you're not, he's going to have your behind sitting right on home base. And you're going to be sitting there praising the Lord. And then when it's time to go, and we all go, I'm not saying you're not going, but when the rewards start getting handed out, you're going to have your hand out. And he's going to be like, yeah, but you have your reward sitting there on the pew, nice and comfy.
And that guy that you was judging over there for going to that Jay-Z concert, you see these thousands of people that's on this side, him just going to that concert and speaking to one person, person, then the next person, then 10 people, then 100 people, and that's why all those people are sitting here. Now, I got a homeboy right now. This is a sidebar. I got a homeboy right now who just went to the store, and the ice cream I was just telling my list y'all about, he got a bag full of it. See how the devil works? See how the devil works? You see how the devil works? He talking about gelato with a bag of it. Now I got to go back in there, and I got to deal with that and be strong, right?
This is live radio.
But guess what?
This is live radio.
Exactly. See how the devil works? He don't play. But see, I got a trick for that joker, though. See, I'm going to eat some gelato, right? I'm going to eat some now, right?
Yeah, that was show him. That was show him.
I'm going to eat some. Just to show him that I can have some moderation.
yo.
Anyway.
Real talk.
Oh, God.
Real talk. You're 100% right. We can't, you know, we can't go around pointing the finger,
right.
You know, and as you said earlier, you know, kicking people's glasses over, you know, and,
right.
You know, and convicting people. You know, honestly, I thought that was the job of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, maybe God assigned some of us that job, too. I don't know. I didn't get assigned that job. But,
I'm
just saying you have to be careful. You got to be careful. When you get the mind up to convict somebody of something that they may be doing, you know, then you have to automatically stop and think about it, because it just can't be right. What you're about to do is, you know, or the approach that you're about to take just can't be right. Just stop and take a moment. Mm-hmm. Take a moment. Think about it. Pray on it. You know what I'm saying? Because God may not. It might not even be for you to say anything. Maybe this person does have a problem, you know, with gelato.
Right.
You know, or whatever the case is. You know, maybe they do, but it might not be for you to do it, because you might have ruined your witness. You might have. You know, they might have saw you indulging in something last week. Exactly. You know, because I ain't no gelato man, but you know that Turkey Hill pistachio almond. If y'all ain't tried it, you need to jump on it. I'm trying to tell you right now. But anyway, you know, my point is, though, you know, you if God didn't lead you to do it, you know, don't do it. And you know, and if you're a leader, if you're a minister, a pastor, a prophet, a teacher, whatever the case may be, and you're going outside of God's word with your opinion in your teachings, then maybe you should pray on that. And reevaluate your teaching. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. You know what? And also, if it's your opinion, let people know it's your opinion. It's okay to give your opinion when God allows. You know, like you can say, you know, listen, this is what the word says. I would suggest, you know, that, you know, if you feel like you can't do it or whatever, then don't even try it. You know, that's my suggestion. If you haven't had it at all, you won't miss it. Don't even try it, because it can lead down this road, you know, and that everybody can't handle. You know, and that's fine, because Paul did that. He even did that in the Bible. He lets you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is my opinion. You know, this is what he says.
Yep.
So,
sure,
you know, in certain passages, y'all, not in all of it, certain passages, you see, he says,
right.
it is my opinion, blah, 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 you know. And he says, as a man of God, I believe that God approves what I'm saying. And that's cool. So it's okay to do that. But you just can't say something. You got to remember that everybody doesn't perceive things the way that you want them to. So you have to be careful how you distribute your opinion and who you give it to. And then, if you remember, if you teach the facts are the facts, they don't change. The truth is the only constant. The truth will never change. So if you speak God's word, teach his word, teach what the word says, and teach all of what the word says. Teach all of it, you know, of what the word says. The word says, you know, if you ask for forgiveness, God is faithful and just to forgive you. But it also asks, it also says, if you do not forgive trespasses of your brother, God will not forgive yours. Teach all of it. You can't teach one part of it and just say, yeah, you do something wrong, God will forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you if you're sorry. You got to teach all of it.
Right.
You know, and that's all I'm saying. You know, you can't give your opinion. You can't say, well, God understands if somebody does something to you such and such a time. No, it doesn't, you know, the word doesn't say that. So anyway.
Right.
Also, practice what you preach, you know.
Absolutely.
Practice what you preach.
Absolutely.
That and that, you know. So anyway, we got to get out of here. We thank you all for listening, man, hanging on with us. As always, we appreciate it. Is there anything else, JS? Anything I'm missing? Oh, we got a live show coming soon, guys. I'll give y'all some more info on that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. If you want any information, yes. If you want any information at all on the show, you can call 270-86-HOLLA. That's 270-864-6552. Did I get that right? It's been a while since I said that.
Yeah, you said it right. Say it again.
270-864-6552. Just call if you need any information on the show or the live shows that we're going to be doing, you know, and we can definitely get you that information. And, I mean, that's it, man. You know, we thank y'all again for listening. Anything else, Jay?
No, that's it. We'll see you guys not next week, because next week we'll be celebrating the Resurrection of Christ
Sunday. No doubt.
So we'll see you guys soon, though. And,
yes,
and definitely hit us up. You can find us on Facebook, Christian Experience. If you need to just send a note, you know, you got, if you, as a matter of fact, if you think you want to be a guest on the show, please hit us up at ChristianExperience@gmail.com and let us know what you'd like to talk about, what your you know, what your gifts are, and you know, and somebody will get back to you, and we'll sit down and talk about it. Maybe you can. You can be a guest on the next show. So,
no doubt.
I think that's it.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Thank y'all, man. We love y'all for the support. We will holler at you later.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.
Did it.
Lord, we ask that you, that you touch her so that she does not forget who you are. She does not forget how she got to where she is, and not forget the people that's praying for her, Lord. Lord, as Jay continues his week, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you bless him with an abundance of ideas, an abundance of energy, Lord, to take care of the people around him, Lord, because we know that you put him in place to be that vessel, Lord, that strong vessel that everybody can rely on, and that's why they come to him, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord, and we ask that you continue to strengthen him, Lord. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you please just bless me throughout the week, Lord, getting back and forth to work and to keep you online, Lord, and just to follow your word and be in your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Cool. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Got quiet.
My Lord. Cool. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Wait. What did you say?
I said it went a little further than I thought, but
that's all good. So I'm glad I was obedient. I needed that. I don't like putting people on the spot like that. But...
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man. Cool, dude. Everything all right over there on that side? Anything you want to holler? We can, I guess we can probably talk tomorrow.